one of the students refused to let me get in their car because he found out that I had an only flapjacks, and he considered it like dirty or wrong. He never wanted to sit by me in class, which I didn't really care. Even the teacher herself every time would say like, well, maybe you should just like wait to pursue acting till you're done with your only flapjacks. Like, no one's gonna cast you.
Wow.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the DeLulu Canoe Podcast. Woo! Yeah! We are so excited to be back. We have the itch of podcasting. I'm so excited to be here and chatting with you today, but it is not just me today in the canoe. I have joining me the spontaneous Iranius Cosmo from the Cosmo Show.
The Iranius, I like that.
I don't know. I tried to make it rhyme. Is that a compliment, Uranius?
I'll take it. I like that. Uranius.
You're planetary.
Yes, I am. The cosmos.
Cosmo comes to us from the Cosmo Show and apparently the planet Uranus today. I just wanted it to rhyme.
Dark times.
Oh, man. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Yes, it's nice to be here. I love it. This is going so great. I love this show. I love this energy. I love the guests that you have on here. It's such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, it's just, I was always concerned about starting this podcast because I didn't want people to feel like it's a negative space or that we're venting. Mm-hmm. But I love that we've turned it so positive.
Yep.
We've totally taken some guests in here that have negative things that they want to like hash out and just put out into the universe, and they leave here feeling great. So yeah. I love that.
It's almost like therapy and just venting.
I was going to say it's kind of like therapy, but we are not therapists.
Nope.
We are not licensed.
No, we're not licensed.
We will not tell you what to do or how to do it.
Nope.
Or who to do it with. Just kidding. Anyway, today we're going to bring a little bit of a rain cloud in, and we're going to talk about something that is kind of dark. So today is going to be some dark topics, but I think we'll do what we usually do, mm-hmm. where it starts a little cloudy and a little dark and a little rainy, but then it's going to get positive.
Oh,
yeah. The sun will come beaming out at the very end, hopefully, if we do this right. But today's topics are going to be mainly about the negative perception of people.
Ooh.
And moving locations. So specifically, I wanted to start with a conversation with you mainly about the perception of moving to LA and it being filled with bad people.
Ooh, that's...
Yeah.
Bad people? Damn. You know, right? Yes and no. I mean, yes, there's a lot of bad people, but it's like, okay, on one side of the coin, mm-hmm. you got the people that will help you, but like then, you know, scratch your back or scratch mine and then stab you in the back whenever you can. But there's some people that are genuinely awesome and amazing. Yeah. And it's usually the people that have been through a lot of that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they don't want to do that. They don't give that to somebody else in experience. You know?
Exactly. They like look out for you sort of thing.
Yeah.
Big sister, big brother kind of mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that. I would say LA is like 50-50. Well, maybe 95% of bad.
Yeah, I think it just depends on your circle.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Dude, finding your circle, your
tribe.
Your tribe, mm-hmm. it's key. It's really key. Ooh.
So yeah. Key. It's not an easy thing. For those of you that don't know, I moved from Orlando to LA. So it's, even moving to Orlando had like a strange aura about it because I'm originally from Minnesota and people were very like, oh, you don't want to move to Orlando. Like it's a lot, like big city, but then it's also Disney World and there's just a lot of negative energy there. But I got twice as much negative feedback about moving to LA when I decided to make that jump. And I really wanted to talk about this topic specifically because I think there is such a unique energy surrounding LA where when you do move from wherever you want to say you're from or like a small town sort of thing, moving to the big town, no matter if it's in your same state or in a different country, there's always this strange perception of it being filled with bad people. Mm-hmm. And I would like to argue, essentially, in the DeLulu canoe, going up the stream here, maybe you agree with me, maybe you disagree, I'll keep on going here, but I would like to very much so bring up the point slash argue that it's about the circle and the company that you keep. It's not necessarily everybody who lives in LA is bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really met with a lot of criticism about moving to LA. And I even have this very, it's kind of like a visceral moment where somebody I had worked with, he had hired me for a couple of short films out in Orlando. He very much so was like, oh, you're moving to LA now? I bet you're going to be there for 2 years. You're going to blow all your money and you're going to come crawling back. And this guy was not anybody important.
Oh, sounds familiar. Sounds so familiar. Yeah.
And I was very shocked because this person had hired me multiple times to be an actor in his like productions and his shows and on his like web series. And for someone that I would argue didn't really know me very well to put this energy on it saying like, well, you're going to go there and fail. It almost lit a fire for me to make sure I didn't fail. Yep. So I wouldn't thank this man by any means at all, but I definitely want to put a circle on that and dive deeper into the bad people theory because I don't know. I think moving to a big city doesn't have to be bad.
No, it doesn't. I'm from San Diego, Chula Vista, and I've seen and known a lot of people that moved up here and moved back. So it was too hard, too cutthroat. It is just too much. I failed miserably. And they came back home. Just like what most people say.
Yeah.
And then when I said, I'm going to go move up there, they're like, oh, you'll be back. And I'm like, I don't know. I went to go visit there and I felt really like I fit in. I feel like that I don't stand out. I feel like I found my weirdness of people. I feel like I finally found like a world where my character can just go about his day without any kind of second glare or glances or any kind of like oddness. You know, growing up in Chula Vista, it's totally different. Even though it's 2 hours away, it's totally different atmosphere, the people, the vibe in that town. So a person like me stands like a sore thumb and it's always negative or it's mostly negative, like intimidating or scary. I walk out of the side of the street because, you know, whatever. But as soon as I came to LA, I'm like, all right, well, I have no ambitions for anything. I'm not trying to be an actor. I'm not trying to be a musician. I came out here because the band got signed and we got dropped. I'm like, okay, well, I'm still here. I'm in LA. I want to try something else.
Yeah.
You know, and then I found my group of people.
Yeah.
I found my people, my niche. And then from there, I networked it and be kind to everybody. And just like.
It sort of fell into place for you.
It did. It really did. It's like, LA is what you make of it. If you're striving for something, it's like you're having goals. Fine. Have goals. Strive for something. But keep in mind that when you come to LA, whatever it is that you're going for does not always pan out. It can be something else, totally different.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is kind of why there's such a dream-like desire to be in LA for people that want to do acting or singing or just content creating even to come here and everything will just fall into place. And it really doesn't. I've been very lucky that I had one friend, which you all will see on the next episode, Carlotta Champagne.
Hey.
She went out of her way to help move me across the country and really made me feel at home here in LA. She introduced me to all of her friends. She was super, super helpful. Introduced me to my friend, Cody, who we're going to have on the podcast very soon, too. And she even introduced me to her acting class. So it was like one person introduced me to their friends, and then their friends introduced me to their classes. And it was just like I couldn't have planned it any better way. But I did want to share two very specific stories of what I would consider bad people in LA, just to kind of give you all a little bit of like reality of what it is truly like to live here. I had an acting agent instantly pick me up when I moved here, which I was so excited for. I thought I was like on the right track. I was delighted. Like most people work years to get signed by an acting agent. And he wanted to do a test trial first, which is pretty normal, where they bring you in and they give you an audition right away. And they're like, okay, we just want to see how do you handle the audition? Do you tape right away and are open to feedback? Or are you somebody who says you're going to do it and then you don't ever end up taping? So they don't want to, you know, contractually sign you if you're not going to work hard kind of thing. And this agent sent me an audition where the character was very aloof. It was just like really hot girl who's just in a big world, in a big city, and likes to have orgies.
Oh, wow.
And I was shocked because, like, yes, I've done some what I like to call noodle art, aka some, you know, noodle sounds a lot like another word. You know what I'm talking about?
Ta-da.
Yeah. Or linguine is another word I like to use, but noodle art. So it's like, I'm comfortable, you know, taking off some layers on camera. I have no problem with that. But for an agent to right out the gate, send me a character that was not only in one orgy scene, but two in one production, in one film, I was kind of shocked, but I still went ahead. I took the audition. I reached out to my acting coach at the time and was like, hey, will you work on this with me? And he took one look at it and looked at me during our like session and was like, I'm sorry, is this really the acting you want to do? Like, I'm not questioning where you want to go. I'm not trying to be in the way of it, but I just want to know where your opinion is on projects like this. He's like, is this the type of work you want to do? And I was so shocked that he took the time to ask me.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, no, this isn't what I want to do. This is not the roles I want to be up for, but this agent is kind of testing me right now and I don't want to disappoint him. He was a referral from a friend. This is a big opportunity for somebody who just moved to LA. What do I do? And he basically was like, tell him you're going to pass on this. Like, if this doesn't align with what you want to do and how you want to be perceived on camera, and yes, it's acting, but if I say yes to this one-time role of orgies and being, you know, displayed as that type of character, well, then that's going to go in your acting reel. And then other people are going to see that. And then they're only going to see you in that way. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to break out of the niche of acting. Same thing with content creating. Once you are in a niche, it's so hard to break out no matter what area you work in. And so I told that director, I was like, well, or the coach at the time, I was like, thank you so much for giving me this advice. I'm going to talk to the casting, or not the casting agent, but the agency that picked me up. I'm going to talk to him and see what he says. So I went back to the agent and I told him politely, this was like 2 days before the audition was due. So it was not close cutting to the time it was due or anything. I just told him very politely, like, hey, you know, I just don't know that this is the right path for me. This is just not the journey I want to go on as an actor. I'm so sorry. I'm going to decline. And do you know what this piece of shit did? He turned around and went to my referral, like the person who vouched for me, and yelled at her. He got mad at her and was like, why would you send me somebody who wouldn't want to do this? You said that she would do this. She wasted my time. She last minute canceled on me, which was not true. He had 2 whole days. Like, it was not last minute. And he got so mad at her. And it blew my mind because that was my very first experience with a negative person in LA, or what I'm calling bad people in LA, because he was so focused on, well, now I don't have somebody to submit, instead of understanding my comfort zone. And that was a very big learning lesson for me. And I'm so glad that I had such a great coach to stop me in that moment and look at the body of work and be like, is this what you want to do? Because I would have just done it. I would have been like, you know what? It is what it is. And I don't think I would be where I'm at today if I would have submitted for that role. I don't know if I would have got it, but that producer probably, or not the producer, but that acting agent probably would have sent me more roles like that. So that was a pretty interesting experience. It was in like the first 2 months that I had moved here. So that's when I learned very quickly that, like, yes, there are people like that out here, but I made the right choice of setting the boundary and telling him that, like, this isn't what I want to do. He decided not to work with me anymore. So it all worked out. But I have another story about not just a producer or an acting director out here. This one is about an acting coach that I signed up with who was terrible.
Damn.
So I did want to ask you though, have you had anybody like really negatively jump in on you for like acting things, or like you said you had a band when you moved here? Did you have any like negative people try to like jump in and like take you a certain direction you didn't want to go?
Oh yeah. A few, especially not so much in music.
Okay.
But acting wise, where I should go, what I should do. I had a friend that was an agent. He wasn't my agent, but he was a good friend. So I've been a bartender, so he used to come to my bar. He's like, you know, they're auditioning for something. You should check this out. You might get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. And I did it. I got it. I was like, sweet. But I've had it's like people on set. Like, where they place you as background means a lot to everybody. So it's like, oh, you're this close to the actors and the actresses.
Yeah.
Then like, you're going to get camera time. So I've had people try to like, no, you should probably sit over there and come in, blah, blah, blah. Like, direct me, even though I was placed by somebody behind the camera. And there's people be backstabbing about that. It's like, oh, or try to set you up for failure. You know, just like this is one scene. Don't trust the bee in apartment 23. It was second season. It was in a bar scene. And my character had a hat. It was like noticeable.
Oh.
Everyone else doesn't have a hat. But I put my hat down and it was gone. Then I asked him, like, where'd the hat go? And I thought it was one of the directors and one of the people, you know, behind the camera. But it was a guy next to me. This guy next to me.
Took your hat?
He took my hat. I found it later on and we did the scene again. Luckily enough, that scene made it in with a hat.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I could point myself out. It's great. But I worked with him on another thing and I see him do that to somebody else. Anybody that's in that camera view where it's like, okay, this is going to be filmed. Mm-hmm. This is going to be on television. And all these guys are just backstabbers. They'll do whatever it takes. They'll like, you sometimes slip things in your drink.
Whoa.
Yeah, it'll make you sick. To make you go home. I've seen it in bars, but I've seen it on movie sets. These are extras.
Wow.
Yeah. Or just like do something, be problematic and blame something on the other person or whisper something in somebody's ear that's behind the camera. It's like, well, that person's like not doing the right thing or blah, 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 blah. And it's just sabotage. And I'm like, what is your we're background. Relax.
Yeah.
We're not main actors. Like if we were the main cast, like the main actors, mm-hmm. I would have a problem with that. I would say something right off the bat.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. me. But for me at that moment in time, I'm like, this is petty and I don't give a crap. This is work mm-hmm. for me. But I see that and I'm just like, what an evil bastard.
Yeah. Like what? Why? It shocks me when people go out of their way to do just terrible things.
Yeah.
To have their own light shine. And if you're somebody out there who happens to be like that, no one's going to be clapping for you.
No.
And you shouldn't do anything, obviously, for applause. Like, you shouldn't do things for other people to respect you. You should do it for yourself as well. But that's just such a lonely way to live, where you're always sabotaging others.
That's the 95% of the people in LA, the bad people. They're really? Just like, you would say 95? I feel like that. Yeah.
Aww.
I mean, I see it a lot as a bartender in LA. I see so much and I hear so much. And I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah,
all this also.
Ooh.
No, let me cut you off.
No, go for it.
There's also the people that don't like people like us that are lucky. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, how did you come across that? How did you meet that person? Or how did you go to that party? Or blah, 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 blah. I worked my ass off and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And they're like jealous.
Mm.
It's kind of like, you know, being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
But that's just like, I can't explain it to anybody else. I'm like, I went to a party and I met such and such actor.
Yeah.
We talked. I treat him like a human being. He remembered me next time I saw him and ran into some other place.
Aww.
Before you know it, he invites me on a project.
Right.
I was like, that's just how it is. Like, maybe I was raised better than you. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
You know?
I feel like a lot of that has to do with your vibration or like your vibe, like the energy you put out into the world. And if you're somebody who's constantly living in jealousy, I feel like it's so easy to feel like you just have this like gut feeling when someone is like, sometimes I like to call them vampires, when they're a little bit of like soul suckers in a way.
Yes.
But yeah, it's such a like, I have jealousy twinges, don't get me wrong, I am not perfect by any means, and sometimes it creeps up on me, but I take the second to take a step back and check it and go, why am I feeling this way? And it's never about my friends. It's usually about like, oh, somebody will book something. And I'm like, man, I wish I booked that thing. But then you clock it, take a step back and go, do I really wish that? Okay, I really don't. I need to clap for this person. So it's okay to have jealous tendencies. Like, we're not preaching here to say that you have to be perfect. But I actually did have it's a perfect segue into this story because I had an acting teacher who had some jealousy issues with me. So I signed up onto a very different acting class that was very positive and I had a very great time with. I'm actually still constantly in this acting class. But at one point, I thought I could take another class at the same time and like learn extra quick and like become better quicker by taking two classes. And boy, was I wrong. I thought taking a class from another teacher would like really help strengthen my tool set. And this other teacher had some sort of jealousy or some sort of issue with me as a student, so much so that when other students would bully me in the class and like refused to, like, we would drive to certain set locations to film some things because the main course in this class was to make acting reel footage without actually being in a movie or film, so that way you could land said movie and film roles. And I didn't have a big acting reel at the time at all. I just had like a couple Orlando projects. So we would get in the car and we'd drive to those locations. And one of the students refused to let me get in their car because he found out that I had an only flapjacks and he considered it like dirty or wrong. So he never wanted to sit by me in class, which I didn't really care. He never wanted to, like, when we would go and do these shoots, he would never let me sit in his car because he had an issue with me. And even the teacher herself every time would say, like, well, maybe you should just, like, wait to pursue acting till you're done with your only flapjacks. Like, no one's gonna cast you.
Wow.
And girl, you better believe I booked Girls on Film by myself.
Yeah.
That was not a friend of a friend's doing. That was not because I had a connection. It was because I showed up, I auditioned, and I was the best one for the role. And you better believe it. I'm getting a lot of good stuff from that. So I don't know what this person's deal was. I don't want to say that it was 100% jealousy, but there was a lot of issues in that class. The fact that they allowed someone to bully me in it really bothered me. And as soon as I found out, that's when I stopped going.
That sucks.
And the fact that they would, in front of the entire class, talk to me and say, like, you should really quit that, like, only flapjacks thing because no one's going to take you seriously and they're just not going to book you. So I don't know why you're even, like, paying to be in this class.
When someone says something like that, I look at it as, just, are you threatened? Are you jealous? It's like,
I don't know.
Let me do what I'm doing, all right? Thank you for the advice, but what's your problem with the only flaps?
But if she really cared, we would have these discussions in private.
Exactly.
Not in front of an entire class.
Professionally.
Yeah. So those were my two really big, like, of course there's been influencers at parties that say stuff to me, but I let that roll off my back. That doesn't bother me. It's more of like when I was new and people really could see that I was new and vulnerable, that those were kind of like my bad experiences with the LA crowd. Mm-hmm. But the big picture is that bad people are everywhere. It's not about the big city. It's not about LA. There's going to be bad therapists. There's going to be bad doctors, bad dentists. Don't get me started. I'm missing two teeth from a bad dentist.
Bad bartenders.
Bad hairstylists. Yeah. Bad makeup artists. Like, you can't escape bad people.
No.
But what you can do is set up boundaries so they don't come into your life and they don't, you know, vampire you and you don't have to deal with them everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of, this is, might be like switching topics and stuff, but what up, do you think the acting classes you took, do you think that helped you with social media, with like doing content?
The good acting class or the not so good acting class?
Well, just any of that experience. Because, you know, some people don't, like, I'm not saying like, some people don't have that extra, in general, experience of how to... I don't know how to like talk to audience or like, you know, do an audition or be in front of the camera and stuff like that. Do you think that helped you a lot?
Oh, for sure. I think it took me from, like, if anybody was following me on TikTok, Dabber Live on TikTok, shameless plug. If you were following me during the pandemic, all I was doing was thirst trap stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I never truly stretched my artistry or really seeing myself and treating myself on social media as an actor. I was just like, oh, I want to, you know, I'm just going to make this quick, like, TikTok dance. And that's fine. But for somebody like me who has other goals and other ambitions and doesn't want to be pigeonholed in that little, like, thirst trap box, my acting class really pulled me out of that. And my teacher, who I currently am working with, really, like, looks at my content and is like, hey, you're doing a really great job. I love what you're putting out now. Like, it is so much more captivating because I'm seeing you and not just, look at me being cute in this little outfit. And there's no issue with that. Like, I love watching other accounts that just do little thirst trappy things. Don't get me wrong. But for somebody who I don't want to live in that box forever, I highly recommend taking acting classes and finding one that really jives well with how you learn. Because everybody teaches different.
Yeah.
So you got to find the one that, like, really sits well with you. And that's actually a great question and a great segue for my next topic point in the DeLulu canoe that I was curious if you would be interested in this, just to kind of like see, because you yourself moved to LA.
Yeah.
So I was curious if you had any like general, generic bullet point advice for if somebody was moving, maybe not even specifically to LA, but if they were to move here, what are a few things you would personally recommend someone try doing before they like commit to the move?
I say go visit.
That was one of mine.
Go visit first, get the lay of the land. And if you like it, I always say like do some research, like espionage almost. You know?
Do
So
some
go
sleuthing.
find an area that you might want to live and then go to the local dive bar or local restaurant. Sit and listen to people. I do that all the time. I sit and people watch and I get an idea of what's the gossip of how the people are, and it just helps me understand the certain zones of LA. And like if I'm going to be like in Beverly Hills, how do I dress? How do I present myself? If I'm going to be over here in Hollywood, then go a little above and extra. Just it's almost like auditioning for the
It
part.
is.
Every other place here in LA or just anywhere you go, like from New York to Chicago, they have different little hubs, little hubs, and you just gotta like do your research and scan them and observe the people. And always talk to the bartenders. Find a good bartender that's not like that gives people time, that sits there and commits to
That likes to
talking to them.
chat.
Yes, likes to chat because they know everything about that little town and people. And if you sit there and listen, he'll introduce you. Like I do that to people when people moved in. I'm like, I just moved in here. I'm like, all right, stay away from that person. That person you can't trust. He's pretty cool. I'm all right. There's some cool other places you should go check out because no one did that for me. And not everyone's gonna have my mindset of
For
like
sure.
how to do things. So I always try to look out for the little guy, new people, especially girls that move out here. Because they're just fresh bait. That's I hate to say that, but the guys use that term a lot.
It's true.
It's so disturbing when I hear that with guys. And they're like, oh dude, fresh meat. I'm like,
Ooh, I hate it.
yeah. And then I come up and I'm like, all right, listen, I'm not hitting on you. I'm a friendly guy. Let me just give you some pointers. Let me show you, like,
Just be careful.
just be careful, yeah. And be careful of that person. Are you hanging out with that person? Well, just watch your back and watch your drink. Make sure, But
That's
that,
so interesting. I love the talk to the bartenders.
yeah.
That's so smart.
It's old school, it's old tradition. The bartenders are like the old, the Yentas in the background, sewing and whatnot, playing backgammon. They know all the gossip, they know everything.
I had if you're a content creator, like ask other content creators that live in the area that you want to live in, but that's literally my version of talk to the bartender. That's 100%. And like I had make a couple visits, which is exactly what you said.
Nice.
And you said that earlier in the episode too. Call back. He said you came and visited LA before you moved. 100%. I had save up money too.
Money.
Like put some money away 'cause it's very expensive
Listen,
living in a big city.
if you're coming from anywhere, coming to LA, you're bound to have money saved up because there's nothing to do like in like Arizona or like Utah or anywhere in the Midwest. If you're coming from Chicago, then hopefully you have some money. From New York, same thing. But if you're coming from anywhere else, going to LA, I want to say just, yeah, save your
Just have
money.
some money.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
And you know what sucks though? It's also to find a job that's transferable.
That's hard though.
It is really hard, but find like a corporate job that's like you plan for it. Plan for it. If you're gonna come to LA, if your goal is to come to LA 2025, then right now is the time to plan for it.
I
Like,
agree.
save
Year in
up.
advance.
Yeah, year in advance, save
See if
up,
you can transfer.
find a job that's transferable, and then also have something set up there, you know? It's like, what's waiting for me? What are these other jobs? So I moved out here, didn't have a job for 6 months, but I had a lot of savings.
Oh, great. Yeah. A lot of people do that. They move
Yeah.
out with a big surplus of money and then they just don't have a job lined up. But it is hard to find living that way. Oh, here we
Me and
go.
my ex, we looked for everything, everywhere. The only thing we found was a one-bedroom apartment in Beechwood Canyon. By the Hollywood
Where's that?
sign,
Oh,
like
okay.
underneath the Hollywood sign,
Was it
2020
nice?
Beechwood Drive. It was beautiful, but 2,000 a month.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and I saw celebrities walking their dogs and all this stuff. I'm like, this is cool. At the time, I used to smoke cigarettes, so I would walk out that first night. I'm like, am I gonna see the Hollywood sign? I'm like, no, they don't even light that up. So I was like, for $2,000 a month, you think they would light that up? But
Yeah, but imagine that keeping you up at night because it's so bright.
well, yeah. I'm a night owl, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you would have liked it.
That was the hard part, trying to find a place.
Yeah. I also had, if you do come and visit, take some classes in the area. Even if you, like, don't really want to be an actor or, like, an artist, but come and, like, take some community classes. It could be acting, artistry. It could be, like, engineering or, like, tech or something. So that way you meet somebody who's interested in something you're interested in. Mm-hmm. Maybe spark up a friendship. Maybe spark up, like, a date. Just something to kind of get you in the community. Because I moved here only knowing one person. And I was lucky that she knew a bunch of other people who knew more people. But I don't know a lot of people that move to a big city and have even one person they know. So some kind of class. I think the dive bar thing is a good suggestion if you are a drinker or somebody who likes that atmosphere.
Yep.
But like, stretch yourself, take a class.
Also, you don't have to go to the bar just to drink.
Yeah, exactly.
There's mocktails and soda. But
yeah, I've been killing the mocktail game lately.
There's one at Scum and Villainy called Cock Knocker. It's really delicious.
Yeah,
it's really delicious.
Ooh, okay. So I also wanted to end the episode kind of bringing back in the clouds a little bit and talking about some bad habits we personally have. And these are going to be hard for me because I want to air them out so that way you all can hold me accountable, Cosmo can hold me accountable, and just kind of like get some stuff off my chest. The first one, which I just did a second ago, is I say kind of a lot. When I'm talking about things, when I'm saying what I want, I have the tendency, especially on this show, I say kind of so much. And I just want to get rid of it. I just want to like, bye, see you later. We don't say kind of anymore. We say what we want.
Okay. I'm going to write that down.
Boom. No kind ofs. Another big thing I do is I say yes to everything, which is great in some respects, but it last year made me sick. Like I was constantly ill. I was saying yes to projects, but then getting very sick afterwards and then spending more time at home sleeping instead of like writing and doing other creative things. So I want to work on being selective on what I do say yes to and making sure it's moving me towards the goals I want to achieve. Mm-hmm. Like I would say yes to every runway show that would come my way and I'm not going to be a runway model. Like it's just, I'm not a giraffe. I'm not very tall.
You don't want to wear yourself thin.
Yeah, it's just not in the cards for me. And it's okay for me to say that because it's not what I'm passionate about. It's not like my big dream. So instead of saying yes to all these runway events, I should really be saying yes to some projects out here or writing my own projects. Is any of this ringing to you at all? Like, do you feel like you have some things that you're like, oh yeah, I want to work on that too?
I want to work on not saying whatnot.
Not saying whatnot.
Whatnot.
Okay.
Whatnot is like my kind of.
Yeah. You know? It's your filler word.
It's my filler word. It's like, yeah, and whatnot. Because it just sounds different from like, well, because my brain will fire quicker than my mouth can speak it. So
I'm that way too. I just want to like get what I'm trying to say out. And then I don't think of like the end of the sentence. And then I'm trailing on forever and ever. And I'm like, So I feel that. I have my kind of your whatnot. We're going to hold each other accountable.
And whatnot.
And whatnot. I have planning out events more or planning out like things in the future instead of just spontaneously doing stuff because I'm the queen of that's good enough. We're like, meh, no one will care. But like the thing that makes art so beautiful is like the details, the planning, the intricacy. So yeah. I really want to focus on like carving out the time to really embrace the planning, the details, the things that really make projects shine and sparkle.
Yeah. I got that too.
Are you detail oriented?
Never.
You know?
since the pandemic started, yes. Because my partner is detail oriented and so I learned a lot from her. So she's a great, great teacher.
Yeah.
On how to do things, time management and being productive and things. So my goal this year is to be more ambitious with things and projects and just getting it out there, sitting laying on my ass and doing nothing. So just the long game, the marathon.
Yeah.
But doing things.
Thinking the long term.
Yep.
My last really big one is I want to have no more shame and guilt surrounding my past. I feel like I carry a lot of like, oh, I shouldn't have done that sort of mentality with a lot of things that I've done in my past. And I feel like without those things in my life, I wouldn't be who I am right now. And I wouldn't be as educated, as, I don't know, relatable, or just even as down to earth. as I am, and I really want to let go of feeling ashamed when it's kind of who I am now. Like, my past is exactly who I am and how I got here. So no more shame. We're going to be proud of the progress we've made and the choices we've made and just put it away.
I used to have regrets, but yeah, I look back at them and I'm like, well, I am who I am because of my past, just like you said. And I wouldn't go back and change anything, except for maybe like this one person I dated, because that was just a bad regret. But
oh no! Other than that, but you learned from it.
I learned from it. Oh God, did I learn from it? And everybody else around me. But it's experience.
Yeah.
You know, you lose, but you learn your lesson. Mm-hmm. You get back up. You start over again.
Yeah.
That's life.
So no more shame for us. We're going to be positive.
Yep.
We made choices and that's okay. I have a lot of shame around drinking. It's so strange. Like when I get drunk, I get like very embarrassed about it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like you witnessed my last drunk escapade. For some reason, I have a lot of shame around that. And I'm just trying to be like, humans are allowed to drink.
Well,
they're allowed to get drunk.
Maybe it's because you're like in the eye of media, of people. Like maybe. You have like a brand that you just want to, you know, like...
Yeah,
protect.
But I need to also let go of that like brand and that like the idea of being perfect, I guess.
Yeah.
Like branding is important, yes, but sometimes I'm going to cuss. You're allowed to fuck up. Yeah. It's part of the human experience is fucking up.
I drank a lot. I was known for drinking a lot because I was a bartender 19 years, but now I hardly go out and drink a lot. Now that I don't work at bars, I don't go drink. And when I'm doing karaoke, something like that, I have a beer and a shot. Somebody buys me a shot, it's fine. I usually give it away sometimes.
Yeah.
Pour it all in one big old cup and have friends come over. I'm like, all right, pour it all in one big old shot glass. Bada bing. But yeah, like.
Share the shot wealth.
Share the shot wealth, yeah. So yeah, I understand that with the drinking.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of all the DeLulu I had for today. How are you feeling in the canoe? Are you feeling like you got some of your DeLulu out?
Yeah, I feel like I'm the one that dropped the oar, and I'm like, oh, damn.
No, you feel like you're the cat. You're like, no. I feel like I agree. I feel like the cat. Yeah. I feel like I kind of let some things, I was like, I'm trusting you all with the oar.
Yeah.
So hopefully you all will catch the oar for me, and it doesn't just disappear into the river. But in the best way. I feel really good about this episode.
This is a very comfortable spot. I feel safe.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you all in the comments section will leave us maybe what you're feeling DeLulu about or anything in the episode that really you gravitated towards or something that you thought was stupid. Like, leave us a comment. We really want to connect with you in the comment section. And I really hope you got rid of your DeLulu or maybe you kept it with you because being DeLulu can be the Salulu. We're working out some of the end. We need a good end quote.
Yeah, I like it.
We'll keep that one for this time.
Yeah.
Being DeLulu is the Salulu. Thank you so much for joining us. Ring that notification bell, subscribe, and don't forget to check out the Cosmo Show.
Yeah.